You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and during the next half hour, you're going to hear the conclusion of Dr. James Dobson's important two-part conversation with Dr. Owen Strand, their topic, Christianity and Wokeness, how the social justice movement is hijacking the gospel and the way to stop it. That's the title of Dr. Strand's book on that subject. By the way, Dr. Owen Strand now serves as senior director of the Dobson Culture Center, and you can glean his insights each and every week when you sign up to receive the Lighting Up Culture weekly report from the Dobson Culture Center. For more information on how to do so, go to drjamesdobson.org/introducing the Dobson Culture Center, and you'll be all set. Today's program was, in fact, recorded a few years ago, but it's still incredibly relevant even for today's culture. So let's listen now to this important discussion featuring Dr. Owen Strand and our own Dr. James Dobson, right here on Family Talk.
Dr. Strand, are you deeply concerned about what you see happening to our country as a father?
Yes. I am absolutely alarmed by what I see happening both in our society and in the church. I was asked to give a few lectures on critical race theory, and that really pushed me in going to this church in Minnesota to get up to speed and equipped. And honestly, Dr. Dobson, I'm sure you've had this over the course of your career. You're asked to engage an issue, and the more you get into the issue, the more it's like a horror movie soundtrack is playing in the background. And it's far, far worse than you realize. The lies, the ideology that is being promoted in the public square today and also in the church is much deeper as a problem than you realize. And this ideology, people think it's against racism and it's a way forward for us. They don't realize this is going to train white people to hate themselves. This is going to set people of different skin colors at odds from one another. And that's the kind of ideology that is actually not against racism. That's not anti-racism, truthfully. That is neo-racism. And it's actually going to revive a lot of problems from the past. And so I have no idea what I'm going to be able to get done with my humble little efforts, but I'm trying to take what stand I can for God's glory.
You know, I just wrote my monthly letter. I sent it to about a million people, and it's on this subject because it is deeply concerning to me. I could weep when I think about what's happening to my country. And I said in that letter, I wonder if you feel the same way, that this may be the greatest threat to this nation and to its people, and especially future generations, that has ever occurred in our history. This has the potential for destroying the very foundation, especially when you talk about its impact on the church and on what Jesus Christ taught us and is teaching us. Is that an overstatement to where we are?
I don't think it's an overstatement. It's right in line with what John MacArthur, who wrote the foreword to Christianity and Wokeness, has said. He has said this is the greatest threat to the gospel he's seen in six decades of ministry. Tommy Nelson, a well-regarded pastor in Denton, Texas, I'm sure known to you.
He's been on this program many times.
I'm sure he has. He has said much the same thing. You know, I think, Dr. Dobson, the way to ground that claim is to recognize this is Marxism. You and I have discussed this a little bit prior, but that is why this is such a threat. People don't understand, especially the younger generation, how bad Marxism is. Marxism is history's most successful bad idea. The hearses trailing Karl Marx and his body of ideas number in the hundreds of millions. Over 100 million people have died in Marx-driven revolutions and rebellions. And I think these ideas that you and I are discussing and have been discussing are a remixed form of Marx's ideas. People don't realize that. They think, oh, these people say they're against racism. They say they're for equality and equity. So it must be good. I'm a Christian. I'm for those things. They don't understand that this all has a Marxist foundation that actually divides people from one another. It sets the oppressor against the oppressed, and it trains the so-called oppressed person, in this case, racially oppressed people, against the oppressors. White people are read as oppressors, no matter whether they have done something definably racist or not. And that is why this is such a dire threat, because of those deeply anarchist underpinnings.
It's really interesting that although it comes out of the African-American community, or at least in part, they're opposed to Martin Luther King and what he said and the way he described when he spoke at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963. And what he said there has resonated as the basis for the understanding between the races, and they are opposed to it. Explain what's going on there.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating part of wokeness that I uncovered in studying it deeply. People don't know this, but you are dead right, Dr. Dobson. The anti-racist woke movement, so-called social justice, you can call it different things, actually is severely critical of Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King promoted what is sometimes called color blindness. In other words, he wanted his children, he famously said, judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that is sometimes called color blindness. Well, the woke argue that that is actually the exact opposite way people should be thought about. Instead of saying, well, I don't see color, or I don't judge people by the color of their skin, you should recognize that the color of your skin makes you either an oppressor or an oppressed person, according to that Marxist paradigm that Black Lives Matter has claimed explicitly. And so Martin Luther King, according to woke voices, is actually the taproot of the problem before us, because Martin Luther King has baptized us all into this naive vision of race and skin color where it doesn't matter, when the woke are trying to convince us that skin color actually matters more than anything. And that is poisonous ideology. That is absolutely antithetical to the gospel. That is the very problem that slavery and Jim Crow promoted. And that shows how it is just foul, godless ideology that we must reject.
When you speak along in these terms in evangelical churches, what's the reaction of the people, especially if it's a mixed racial setting? Do people get very angry at you and shout at you? What is the reaction?
Honestly, when I speak in churches, I tend to get very strong, positive responses. Yes, there are some negative responses, there are, but I tend to have people say, I've been getting hit from every angle in my job, in my workplace, in my corporate boardroom, in the military, in my college, in my public school, in my church, from the pulpit. And I am so thankful to learn, if I'm a white person, that I'm not a white supremacist, that I'm not inherently guilty of racism just based on my skin color. And if they're a person of color, they're so glad to hear that they actually have gospel unity through the shed blood of Jesus Christ with all who place their faith in Jesus Christ. They're thrilled, many of them, to learn that they don't have to hold on to this anger, and they don't have to see people as divided from them because of their skin color. You know, it's fascinating, Dr. Dobson, because the left, the media, is not going to promote people of color who question wokeness today. But actually, a voice like Vodi Bakum, for example, in evangelical circles, is really the strongest voice in recent years against wokeness, critical race theory, and intersectionality. And voices like Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker on the Just Thinking podcast, these are men, strong, godly men that the Lord has raised up, who are unequivocal about the evil of wokeness. And so I actually think there's a counter-revolution, or even better, a counter-reformation that is happening right now. And much of it is being led by Black people. And I give thanks to God for that, because these ideas are not racially conditioned. The truth has no skin color. The truth is God's truth. And many of varying backgrounds and pigmentations know that and believe it.
So that's why I got so excited about your book, because it is a voice crying in the wilderness. It's encouraging to me to hear you say that there are other voices out there to oppose these godless Marxist ideas. I'm encouraged to know that there is at least a hope that we can regain our footing here somehow.
Well, I believe there is, Dr. Dobson. We all know, frankly, that oftentimes when evil advances, I mean in force, I mean an army terrible in banners, we tend to think, oh no, we're going to need hundreds, we're going to need thousands of voices. And look, we'd love that if we could get it. But really, so often in history, including in church history, Christian history, there's not many people who speak up. And what happens when just a few people speak up, so many other people are strengthened. I in no way compare myself to Winston Churchill, I guess, except for by virtue of being short like him. But you think about Churchill in the 30s, when he was one of the only figures, really the only establishment figure in Britain, who called Hitler what he was, this evil, tyrannical overlord. And history has completely vindicated Churchill, and a whole movement developed around him by God's grace. So oftentimes, we actually don't need thousands of people to speak up. The tide starts to turn with even just a few voices. And we are standing with King Jesus, and therefore, we are on the right side of history. There is no doubt about that. And tons of Christians, Dr. Dobson, and tons of Americans, if I can generalize in that way, actually enjoy diversity. We're not at each other's throats when you go to the gas station, when you go to Walmart, when you show up at a football game in your local community. Yeah, there's sin. There's plenty of sin. Let's not misunderstand. But in God's common grace, actually a fair number of people, a lot of people are not bigoted when it comes to people who look different from them. This is part of the evil of this system, if I may. It is whipping us up into a frenzy. This is what Marx's thought does. It creates a conflict. It's like the person who gets into the boys' table in the lunchroom and creates a conflict out of nowhere, and nobody even realizes it. That's what Karl Marx specialized in. And that's what is happening today. People of color are being set against white people, and it's evil. It's division. It's because there's a devil who tries to divide people in general, and who especially tries to divide the Church of Christ. And I'm here. I am ready to pay the price in taking my small stand against this ideology, because it is bankrupt and it is not telling the truth.
Well, let me refer to your book again. It's called Christianity and Wokeness: How the Social Justice Movement is Hijacking the Gospel and the Way to Stop It. Let's talk about those last 5-6 words, how to stop it. You're making your statement, and I hope that our listeners are paying attention here, because it's so critically important. But how can they deal with this? People are intimidated.
Yeah.
They're afraid their words will be interpreted as racist. Nobody wants that, or at least the people that I know and love, and the people in the church. But that's being used to intimidate us. What do you suggest?
Yeah. Great question. Let's go back to your hero and mine, or at least one of them. Let's get Churchillian. Let's not be ready to stand. That's not right. Let's stand now. Let's speak the truth. Let's, in the church, claim the reality that we're not trying for racial reconciliation. It's not on our shoulders. It's already happened. Paul says in Ephesians 2:11-22, that the church is one new man, Jew and Gentile, who had far hotter divisions and far greater hatred for one another, were united by the blood of Jesus. That is true today. If you are a Christian, you are my brother or my sister. If we will claim that unity, we'll be a long ways down the road to doing what we need to do to oppose this ideology. Further, the way to stop this is very simple. It's to speak up. It's to show up at the public school board hearing. It's to talk to your kids' teachers, whether it's public school or private school or Christian school or college or university or Christian college or seminary, whatever it is. Be an engaged father or mother. And I would challenge fathers especially take leadership in this. Don't assume everything is hunky-dory in your kids' education. Learn what they're being trained to believe. Have conversations at the dinner table about what the curriculum is teaching them. And if you get a hint that there is this so-called anti-racist sociology working its way into your kids' brains and hearts, then you need to oppose that. Also, be ready to make the hard decisions. If your church has a pastor who is standing up and talking about white fragility and systemic racism and pervasive inequality and white guilt and white supremacy in the terms that you and I have been discussing, Dr. Dobson, then you need to have a conversation with your elders, with your pastors, and you need to implore them to repent of such teaching and turn away from it. And if they won't, if they do not stop teaching this godless ideology, leave. Leave in a Christian way, but leave in a clear way and find a church that is sound. My overall word of exhortation, though, is very simply, take your stand.
Yeah. Does that mean taking your kids out of public schools if that's what's required?
Absolutely, it does in my mind. I mean, there's
does it mean homeschooling for some?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic time for you to evaluate public school education or any education. If these ideas have seeped into the school system, then I think Christian fathers and mothers need to sit down at the kitchen table when the kids are in bed and have that hard conversation, because life is too short to let our kids be indoctrinated by godless Marxism.
I have your book open in front of me. You have a chapter called How Wokeness is Entering the Church. How does that happen?
It happens primarily through pulpits, through weak men who are allowing themselves to be taken captive by these lies from the devil. And what happens is that pastors who, in many cases, used to preach the Word of God, used to preach expository sermons from biblical passages, now start preaching sociology. And listen, even though critical race theory is a complex academic discipline with its own texts and body of literature and journal articles and et cetera and so on, the sheep know when their pastor is starting to preach sociological garbage rather than the Word of God. But you don't need a minute of seminary. I heard about a church in Minneapolis where the pastor literally called people from the pulpit, big church, large church, well-known church, to repent of their complicity in white supremacy. And the people were just shocked, because that's evil. But here's the good news of that story. They realized that's not found in the Word of God, these concepts. This is sociology. This is secular critical race theory. Again, engage your leadership in a gracious way. If they're going to stand on the sinking sand of man's opinions, it's time to go.
I tell you, I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm cheering in my spirit that somebody's got the courage to say, this is wrong. This is unbiblical. This will destroy us and it will also destroy your children. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. I did not at all raise my hand 5 years ago when we started seeing these ideas and ideologies creep into the American bloodstream in the church. I didn't know the extent to which this was a body of godless ideology. I didn't know. I hadn't read critical race theory books, but I got equipped in successive years. And I believe that this is the generational threat of our time to the gospel of grace and to the church. Obviously, more threats will come, but this is the threat now. And the only way forward is clarity and conviction. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. That is our way forward. There's nothing else to do.
What did publishers say to you when you brought this book to them and they said they didn't want to publish it?
Most publishers said very little. They just indicated a pass, a hard pass. A few, thankfully, Christian Focus was willing to, and I'm very thankful for them. And then, yes, Salem Books was the only other one to actually offer. So Christian Focus in Salem, and Salem really had enthusiasm for this project. They had acquired Vody Bauckham's book, Fault Lines, an excellent, excellent text, and they saw this as a kind of 1-2 punch with Vody Bauckham's book. And I pray those books will work together. And I'm so thankful for Salem Books and their courage, because it is no easy thing to publish an unwoke text in 2021.
Vodi Bakum is Dean of the School of Divinity at African Christian University, and he's the author of Fault Lines, as you just indicated. Mm-hmm. This is what he says about your book. Owen Strand has done a great service to the church, not only by taking aim at one of the most dangerous foes, wokeness, but also by pointing her again and again to her all-sufficient Savior and Head. Few men possess the mix of intellect, winsomeness, academic rigor, pastoral sensitivity, and raw courage that drips from every page of this book. He is himself African-American, is he not?
He is.
And he and you have been in touch. You've talked about this.
Yes, we make a very unlikely pairing, because Vodi Bakum is a 6'5" former Division I tight end in college football. And I'm a 5'7" glasses wearing white guy from Maine. But in matters of truth, much more important things than sports, we are at one. We're not the only ones in the evangelical world who are speaking against this. Tom Buck, Tom Askell, Josh Bice, John MacArthur, other names I could mention. But Vodi and I are, together with Salem, have really found a common cause. And we were at the NRB in Dallas, and we were thick as thieves. And it was such a blessing from God to be with this Moses-voiced man who has faced racism in his life, knows that there is real sin out there, and yet Vodi altogether rejects woke ideology.
I would like you to consider me part of that common cause. I see things the way you see them, and it's a pleasure to have you on the program these 2 days. I hope that you sell a million copies of this book, and I hope our listeners will go out and get it. I appreciate so much your being with us yesterday and today, and for speaking so boldly on a subject that's controversial because many people don't understand it. You've helped with that understanding.
I am so honored to have talked with you today, and I do count you a fellow comrade in this fight, and I'm so thankful for your legacy of faithfulness and for you taking a stand on a very difficult issue at this stage in your career. I give thanks to God for you. So thank you for having
me. Well, right is right. And something is biblical and right, you stand for it. If people don't like it, then that's too bad.
Amen.
I mean, we have to have the courage of our convictions. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir, for being with us. I've enjoyed talking to you. And again, one last time, Christianity and Wokeness, How the Social Justice Movement is hijacking, that's an important word, hijacking the gospel, and the way to stop it. Get a copy. God bless you, friends. Say hello to your family for me.
I will, Dr. Dobson. Thank you.
Well, it is my prayer, and I know it's the prayer of everyone here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute and the Dobson Culture Center, that we will all stand for truth when we are called by the Lord to do so. That was the conclusion of Dr. James Dobson's crucial conversation with Dr. Owen Strand here on Family Talk. Dr. Strand is the author of the book called Christianity and Wokeness, How the Social Justice Movement is Hijacking the Gospel and the Way to Stop It. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Strand or his book, visit drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk, or check out today's broadcast page on the Family Talk app right on your smartphone. And by the way, I am excited to announce that Dr. Owen Strand is now the senior director of the new Dobson Culture Center here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. There's much more to come from this outstanding new part of our ministry in the near future. In the meantime, though, to get better acquainted with Dr. Strand and the DCC, as we like to call the organization internally, you can sign up to receive the Lighting Up Culture Weekly Report when you go to drjamesdobson.org and click on the tab for the Dobson Culture Center. You know, one of the real reasons why the culture is in turmoil right now is a shift away from biblical values. marriages, families, all falling apart. But consider this, healthy, nurturing, God-led marriages are so important for the restoring of this generation and for the strengthening of the next. But regardless of the condition of your marriage, you know, even a good marriage requires diligence and intention with the Lord at the center to remain successful. Here at the JDFI, we want to walk alongside you with guidance and support for your marriage journey. So if you and your spouse could use some encouragement, check out the marriage and parenting videos available right on our homepage at drjamesdobson.org. When you go there, simply click on the link for the marriage and parenting videos and start exploring today. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, and on behalf of everyone here at the JDFI, thanks so much for making Family Talk a part of your day. And be sure to join us again tomorrow right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.